about to chat with Dr. Lorinda Kramer from the Cultural Heritage and Museum Studies at Deakin University. She's going to tell us all about men's slutty little glasses. Our listeners have already told us what they think. They're definitely hot, according to 2SER listener Sarah O. So coming up, we're going to talk to Dr. Lorinda. Welcome on, Dr. Lorinda.
Hello, Vanessa. It's really great to be with you.
So let's start with the term slutty little glasses. Where has this come from?
Yeah, it's emerged just very recently. And any of your listeners who, you know, spend a little bit of time on the internet will have seen this descriptor applied to men's eyewear, slutty little glasses. It was coined by a man by the name of Blakely Thornton, who's an online creator and culture critic. And what he was applying this term to originally was a particular form of glasses, very fashionable at the moment, wire-framed spectacles, and particularly those that were worn by the actor Jonathan Bailey in the new Jurassic Park film. That one's called Jurassic World Rebirth. But since Blakely Thornton has used this for those very specific wire-framed spectacles, we've also seen the term applied much more broadly to men's glasses.
So we've seen these glasses, these spectacles, go from nerdy to attractive. When were these spectacles first invented and what purpose did they serve?
Vanessa, they've got such an interesting history, actually. And one of the things that I think makes them so fascinating to research is that they show us a history of helping people see, but also the way that people who wear them are seen by others. So we can tease all kinds of different elements out from people wearing glasses. So we can trace the earlier spectacles back to around the late 1200s, but we don't know precisely who their inventor is. We do have a really interesting early 14th century sermon that was written by a Dominican friar, and he mentions how glasses had been invented 20 years before he gave that particular sermon. And we know that from that point on, magnifying lenses became incredibly important for different people to be able to see things more clearly. So, for example, the earliest eyewear in particular was used to give sharper clarity for those who needed to look closely over texts and over manuscripts. And these were often scholars of science or religion. But these early glasses also really helped to aid vision for artisans, remembering that this is a time before we had machine manufacturing in full force. So many things were made by hand. And we can trace back to these early glasses how productivity really boomed as people's working lives were extended because of their wearing of glasses.
That's really fascinating. I had no idea that they were that old. Sounds really interesting that they're linked to that knowledge base and it was a place of learning. So how else has eyewear, both in function and appearance, changed since then for different needs?
Yeah, so I've been really interested in thinking about the 19th century and glasses in the 19th century. And by this point, they really have become both functional but also highly fashionable. And there are, as you mentioned, a range of different forms of eyewear that are widely worn across this century. So we have glasses known as pince-nez. These are the ones that your listeners will recognise. They had a little pincer that fastened them onto the bridge of the nose, and they didn't have arms to hold them in place. In that century, there were also spectacles that were mounted on a handle that were called lorgnettes, and they were carried by some of my favourite late 18th and early 19th century men who were known as dandies, and these were really exquisitely dressed, meticulously dressed men of that time. We also that decade have glasses known as opera glasses, and these were to help people with long distance vision, particularly for patrons who went to see performers on the stage. And another of my favourite from that century is the monocle, which is a single lens that tucks under the eyebrow. The monocle actually is so fascinating because it became a symbol of power in that particular century. But in the early 20th century, it was also adopted as a lesbian fashion adornment. So in 1920s Paris, there was a nightclub that opened on the left bank called Le Monocle, in which many of its wearers adorned a monocle. So I think that that 19th century period is incredibly fascinating for the range of different eyewear that we see.
That's fascinating. So I've got one final question for you. Mm-hmm. Do you think that sort of 19th century aesthetic is repopularizing glasses today, or do you think it's more an early 2000s trend?
Oh, that's such a good question, Vanessa. We could probably think of it a little bit of both. I think there are a number of other eyewear, spectacle wearers that we could turn to who I think have really inspired what we're seeing in the present. I'm thinking, you know, John Lennon in the 1960s and 70s, his spectacles are really, you know, returning to favour. I'm also thinking about Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones, who people adored. And you'll remember he also wore wire-framed glasses in the Indiana Jones movies. But I think that stemming from that, I do think the popular culture is really playing into this moment that we're having with men's eyewear. And I think it's a really interesting opportunity to think about masculinity and eyewear in particular. And this sense that, you know, we've been talking about how glasses were associated with, you know, with nerdy men. And this probably comes from the wisdom that was associated with wearing glasses in the very early period in particular. But I think now we're having this revival of men as being really sexy in wearing these scholarly looking glasses in the present.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lorinda.
That's a pleasure, Vanessa. It's always great to chat.
That was Dr. Lorinda Kramer, lecturer in cultural heritage and museum studies at Deakin University. And she told us all about how men's eyewear has evolved throughout history to be seen as attractive today and all of the different cultural connotations with it.